Welcome. Anybody happy to be here?
Yes.
Well, like I said, Kim and I had the privilege of leading a young man to Christ, which was a real honor.
Yeah.
You never know what God's going to do in that room right there.
Yep.
There's freedom, there's deliverance, there's salvation. But every time we go in that room, we don't go in alone. Jesus shows
Amen.
Up.
Amen.
That's right.
We got the opportunity to present the gospel, the whole gospel.
Yeah.
Someone in this room is a pretty fiery evangelist for Jesus, so she was preaching. She had her preach on, praise God.
That's good.
That's good.
Didn't leave anything out. And I was wondering how many of us really know the gospel, like really, really know the gospel, why he came, why he came. Do you know why he came? There's only really one reason why he came. There's a lot of confusion out there as to why he came.
Right.
Some think he came to give us a better life.
Yeah.
To bless us, give us wealth and riches and success and all that stuff, health and wealth. I'm realizing as I'm aging, although there is healing in the atonement, it's not the primary thing.
Yeah.
God gets glorified in our struggles and suffering. And that's probably when we grow deepest in the Lord, is
yes.
through our struggles, right? Yeah. I'm sure most of you can attest to that.
Yeah, that's right.
Let's go to Book of Romans. If you want to know about the gospel, the Book of Romans is the place to go. This is an equipping session, so if you don't understand, just please raise your hand, and we will try to make it as clear as possible. Book of Romans, chapter 1. We're going to be going through the whole book of Romans.
Nice.
Today?
No, very quickly.
Great book.
I've broken this up into 4 points. So, Romans 1, the very beginning. Okay. So I'm going to start reading 1 to 9, and then I'm going to read 16, 17, and 18. Okay. Romans 1:1. Paul, using the New American Standard, a bondservant or slave or servant of Christ Jesus, called as an apostle set apart for the gospel of God.
Amen.
The gospel, the good news. The good news of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. Concerning his son, who was born of a descendant of David according to the flesh, who was declared the son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead, according to the spirit of holiness, Jesus Christ our Lord, through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith among all the Gentiles for his name's sake. Mm. Pay attention. Among whom you also are the called of Jesus Christ. To all who are beloved of God in Rome, called as saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, because your faith is being proclaimed throughout the whole world. For God, whom I serve in my spirit in the preaching of the gospel of his Son, is my witness as to how unceasingly I make mention of you. Verse 16. Verse 15 says he preaches the gospel again. Verse 16, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Mm-hmm. For in it, in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, but the righteous man shall live by faith. Mm-hmm. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness.
That's right.
Because that which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them. Let's pray. Lord, incredible message, incredible that you would come down as a man and reveal yourself to us and the plan of God in dying for us and doing for us what we could not do for ourselves, to make us right with God. Open our hearts and our minds and ears to hear and receive the truth today, that we might be able to communicate it, Lord, to those who are perishing. You desire none to perish, and you have raised up your church to go and proclaim this wonderful good news to the world. In Jesus' name, change us today, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's focus on the gospel. The gospel, good news. Here's what it's called in the Bible, the gospel of the kingdom.
Yes.
Gospel of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God has come in the person of the King Jesus Christ. It is the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's about a person.
Yes.
The good news is about a person. Jesus means God saves, and Christ means the anointed one. He is the anointed one of God, who God has sent into the world to save his people from their sins. Okay, that's the gospel. It's called the gospel of grace, the gospel of the glory of Christ. I'm all getting these all from Scripture.
Mm-hmm.
It's the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the gospel of peace. I want to focus in, zero in on verse 7. This morning. We're morning. I've got to get used to that.
Yeah, right.
This morning. How many are ashamed of preaching the gospel? You don't have to raise your hand. It always interests me when you are a believer and you've experienced the best news the world has ever heard, why we are so afraid to share good news. We have no problem talking about bad news stories, do we? But we seem to have a problem talking about good news, the best news ever heard. And I want to challenge us. The scripture says we are not to be ashamed of the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because it is the power of God unto salvation. It's the only thing that will bring a person from dead in their sins to alive in Christ.
Yes.
Okay, that's the only thing. It's the gospel. It's good news, literally what the word means.
Yes.
And we are to proclaim it. That's what we're called. We have been called to declare the praises of Jesus Christ to the world. What is the gospel? Do you know what it is? Verse 7. I've chosen four words out here. But let's start in verse 5. We have received grace. It's about grace. Verse 6. You're called. God called you out of darkness into the glorious kingdom of his Son. He called you. He drew you to himself, the Bible says.
Mm-hmm.
And he did that based on one thing. His love.
Mm-hmm.
His love. Verse 7, to all who are beloved of God. You are loved of God. Number one, God so loved you that he gave his Son for you.
Right. Right.
That's how much he sees you. That's how much worth he puts on you. That he would kill his own Son for you. Okay? That's the gospel. God loves you. Number one. Okay? Paul says that very out front. To all who are beloved or loved of God. Called as saints. Called. Again. Called out of the world. We are, the church of Jesus Christ is called the ecclesia. Literally, the called out ones.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's who we are. We have been called out of the world. By whom? By Christ. For what purpose? For holiness.
Mm-hmm.
We're saints.
Mm-hmm.
That's the word saint is holy. We've been sanctified in Christ Jesus. We've been set apart, cleansed and washed and set apart.
Mm-hmm.
If you've accepted Christ.
Amen.
And then he says, grace to you and peace. Love, grace, and peace. And I want to focus on those three words this morning. Are you with me?
Yes.
Look what he says in verse 3. Or verse 2. This gospel of God in verse 2, which he promised beforehand through his prophets, this is nothing new. The Old Testament prophets have been prophesying the coming of the Messiah. They've been prophesying, especially in Isaiah, which literally means God saves.
Mm-hmm.
Isaiah and Yeshua, Jesus, are very similar. They're almost the same in Hebrew. Jesus is the promised one of God. And he's described all through the Old Testament, all the way from Genesis 3:15, all the way through to the very end of the Old Testament. Jesus is the fulfillment of the Old Testament. The gospel is literally the continuation of the work of God in the Old Testament, now revealed in fullness in Christ. Okay? So, I mean, we could talk about verse 3. He's the descendant of David. You know, in 2 Samuel 7, it talks about, I'm going to raise up a ruler from your line. And we see all that through in the book of Ruth. We see at the very end of Ruth, David is mentioned, and he's the great grandson of Ruth and Obed, right? It's just amazing how God sovereignly plans the arrival of Christ.
Yeah.
To come through the line of David in fulfillment of the scriptures. And I won't get into all that, but there's, if you want to know more, there's tons of scripture. But just go read 2 Samuel 7. Amazing passage. Let's zero in on these words. Loved. You are loved. And guess what? I'm just going to use the book of Romans. Because Romans is the book. If you want to understand the gospel, go to the book of Romans. Romans 5. Let's go to Romans 5. We're going to look at the word love very quickly. In verse 1, we're going to go there with peace, but let's just read now. Therefore, 5:1, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have also, we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand and we exalt in hope of the glory of God. And not only this, but we also exalt in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, perseverance, proven character, hope. Why are you suffering? There it is right there, to bring about the character of Christ in you.
Yeah.
And hope does not disappoint. Why? Because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit, whom was given to us. Okay? The gospel of grace, the gospel of love, is God loves you so much. He wants to indwell you, and he's got to clean you up first.
Right?
And verse 8 says, God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
Yes.
How much does he love us? He loves us so much that he wants to kill his son, to clean us up, to take away our sins, so that he can indwell us. And he, how does he do that? He pours his Holy Spirit in us, and he pours his love in us through the Holy Spirit.
A lot of people who think they're not good enough for God to love them, right? We just prayed for somebody yesterday. That's where she's. But God says that he, while we were sinners, he died for us.
While we
were
sinners.
Not because we were good.
Right.
That's right.
It's going to be hard to stand on a topic like in sequence because they're all so intertwined. But God in Christ was reconciling us to himself. And how was he doing that? He was demonstrating his love toward us, okay, in the person of Jesus Christ, who was love embodied, right? Full of grace and truth. And so we want to focus on what Jesus did for us in dying for us. The Bible says, rarely will a man die for any man. But he'll die. He might die for a good man. But will he give up his life for a sinner? For a wretched sinner like me? Do you know anybody who would take the place of Paul Bernardo?
Right.
Nobody.
Right.
There's one person who did.
Yes.
Okay? Jesus Christ. Friends, in God's eyes, you're no different than Paul Bernardo.
Right.
Okay? Before Christ.
Right.
The only difference between you and him is Jesus. Okay? Now wrap that around your head.
Yep.
I ain't like him, no way. Sin is sin, that's right. And sin separates us from God.
You're showing your age because you know Paul Bernardo.
Oh, you guys know Paul Bernardo?
I do. Okay. The young ones
don't. Oh.
Yeah, we don't like to name that name. But let's go to Romans 8 because we're focusing on the love of God, which God gave us in Christ. And he says this, God has poured his love into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. And then he says in chapter 8, amazing passage, verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And then he does a whole list and basically concludes this. Verse 37, in all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. For I'm convinced, verse 38, that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Once God has a hold of you through his love in Christ, you cannot be separated. Okay? It's a powerful love. Powerful love. And it holds on to you and doesn't let go. And in the men's study yesterday, we saw John 10. In that chapter, Jesus says, I have you in my hand, and nothing can take you out of my grasp, and nothing can take you out of my Father's hand. Okay? You are secure in Christ. When you're truly born again and saved, you are secure in Christ. Are you with me? That's the love of God revealed in the person of Jesus Christ that Paul talks about. Let's look at grace. Let's go back to Romans 1, verse 5. We have received grace. What is grace? The literal word means gift. Grace is a gift. Okay? You can't earn it. You can't work for it. It's something you receive. You receive by faith. You have to believe that grace is received in and through the person of Jesus Christ. Verse 7. To all who are beloved of God, called the saints, grace to you. Grace. That the word appears many, many times in this book. Chapter 3, verse 24. Now, if you have a pencil, if you mark up your Bible, I want you to put a big square around verses 19 to 26. And right above that square, the gospel. Chapter 3, verse 19 to 24. Or 26. Chapter 3, verse 19 to 26, write the gospel. If you want to know what the gospel is, there it is. I chose verse 24 because it says, being justified as a gift by his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. Okay, that is the grace. The grace is you're a guilty sinner before God. And he comes through the finished work of Jesus and pronounces justified, forgiven, no longer guilty of the penalty of death because of your sin. Okay, that's grace. It's all him who does it. Grace is a gift. Ephesians 2:8. It is by grace you're saved through faith. It's not of yourself. It is a gift of God.
That's right.
Okay?
That's right.
It's grace. The gospel is God offers you a free gift. A free gift of pardon, redemption, forgiveness in the person of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. So let's just read verses 19 to 26. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, that every mouth may be closed and all the world may become accountable to God. What is the purpose of the law? It's to show you that you broke God's law and you're guilty. And he'll say in verse 23, all have sinned and fall short of the glory. There's no one who hasn't broken God's law.
Right.
I don't care how religious you are, how good you are, everybody's broken God's law. And he proves that in chapter 2 and 3. He says, it doesn't matter if you're Jew or Gentile, you're all guilty. Mm-hmm. Verse 20, because by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified. That's a judicial term, absolved of your guilt, declared righteous, stamped once and for all. You're in Christ, you're stamped, forgiven, debt's been paid, no longer guilty.
Amen.
The works of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight, for through the law comes the knowledge of sin. How do you know you're going fast and breaking the law? Because it's posted, right? If it wasn't posted, you wouldn't know you're breaking the law. But as soon as it's written down, guess what? You're guilty. Okay? That's all he's saying. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. See, they hear this, says it again. You can find it in the Old Testament.
Yep.
The sacrifice, which could never really take away sin, was a picture of what God would do in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
He would kill the lamb to take away your sins. And when you just finish reading through the book of Exodus and Leviticus, and they always had two lambs, one that would die and another one that you would transfer your sin to that lamb and they would send it out in the wilderness. Why? Because God remembers your sin no more.
Mm-hmm.
And that lamb would go, or that goat or whatever, it would just go in the wilderness into the desert. And whatever happened to it there happened, but it was gone. Your sin was gone, wiped away.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's the image. Mm-hmm. The first lamb dies to pay for your sin, the second lamb is sent out and takes your sin away.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, friends, that's the gospel.
Yep.
That's the gospel. I don't know why some churches, they just don't teach this. When you come to Christ and when Christ has paid for your sins, you are sin less, sin free.
Yes,
he takes away our sin. Okay?
Amen.
We can choose to sin, but the Bible declares we are justified righteous in the sight of God because of Christ.
Praise the Lord.
Okay? It might be hard for some of you because
the who and do.
You might be.
You are a saint, even though you sin. It doesn't mean that you're a sinner.
Doesn't change your status.
Yes,
in his eyes.
Your identity is.
You're not a sinner because you sin anymore. You sin because we have a tempter who tempts us to sin, and sometimes we fall prey to that. But ultimately, we are saints. We're called
set apart,
holy.
Okay? That's right.
And we, if you want understanding, go read Romans 6.
Yeah.
Verse 22. Even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all those who believe, there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified as a gift by his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. There's the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
It's a judicial thing where God takes away our guilt in the person of Jesus Christ, whom God displayed publicly as a, my translation says, propitiation or sacrifice in his blood through faith. I love that. You know, Paul describes that in the book of Colossians. He publicly displayed Jesus right here on the cross for the whole world to see. He lifted him up, the Bible says. And everybody who looks to him and believes by faith and receives what he did is forgiven.
Yes.
Okay? God lifts him up publicly. He's put him on display for the whole world to see. That's why the whole world is guilty till they come to Christ. Okay, there's no excuse, Paul says in chapter 1. Everybody sins, but everybody can receive forgiveness in Christ. This was to demonstrate his righteousness. He puts his righteousness on display. God's holiness and righteousness is revealed on the person of Jesus Christ. I'm so holy and I hate sin so much that I must punish it. But my love says I'm not going to punish you. I'd rather punish my son than you. All you got to do is receive the gift of my son and believe in him. That's it. You're saved by grace through faith. Okay? It's that simple, friends. I always tell people, either you're going to pay or you're going to receive his payment.
Right.
You can't pay, really, because you're a sinner. It took a sinless, spotless Lamb of God to pay the price.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus Christ is that Lamb of God.
Mm-hmm.
You can't do it, no matter how good you think you are.
Nope.
Your works are filthy rags to the Lord.
Yeah.
Okay. It's a gift. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Let's just think about that.
Mm-hmm.
We'd all get to heaven and we'd all be a lineup waiting to meet Jesus. And we'd all be like, let me go first. I did better than you. No, I did this. I fed the poor every day.
Mm-hmm.
No, I gave $1 million to this charity. We'd all be doing that. I should be first. Not by works. Not by works. Mm-hmm. What's that? That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Did you know my son?
Yeah,
did you receive what he did on the cross? That's it.
Yeah.
For the demonstration, I say, of his righteousness at the present time, that he might be just and just forever, the one who has faith in Jesus. Okay, faith in Jesus, receiving the grace of God. That's grace. There's so many scriptures. Read chapter 5, which we already read a bit. We have peace with God. I wrote verse 2, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace, by faith and grace. You see the relationship between faith and grace?
Mm-hmm.
Romans 5, 2, faith receives the gift.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
God has given a gift, like any gift. You can either receive it or say, well, I don't really need that. I don't think I want that. Well, that might be a good gift for someone else, but I don't need that.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe you receive it and you put it in the closet. Okay.
Or you don't
anybody
think you're
done that?
To receive it.
Or you re-gift it.
Yeah.
Well, this isn't for me. I think this person would be better with that gift. No, you need Jesus. Everybody needs Jesus. Okay, it's a gift that nobody should give back. All right, I'm going to just go home and read chapter 5. You know, go home and read the Romans. It's an amazing book.
Read it all.
I want to talk about peace. Since you're in chapter 5, this is the verse. So, God has poured his love into us. He's given us of Christ Jesus his best, his only begotten son, that we might be forgiven and redeemed and paid for and all that. It's just a beautiful picture of God giving to us because he loves us. And out of that, we're talking about an internal peace. We're talking about, I am no longer responsible for satisfying the holiness of God, for the demands of God. Okay? God requires a penalty for sin.
Yeah.
There's a huge freedom and peace that comes when knowing that that penalty has been paid.
Yeah.
And I can just receive that. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, good.
That I don't have to stand before him one day and have to pay that price. Yeah. That it's already been paid. Yeah. And he says that having been justified, that's the term. That's declared righteous. That's declared absolved of guilt. I'm righteous now before God. No longer guilty. Mm-hmm. I can have peace with God through Jesus Christ. Only through Jesus Christ. Yeah. Not by my works.
Yes.
Okay? It's such a beautiful picture. Romans 8.
Yeah, that's good.
Verse 6. Once you receive that peace, and Holy Spirit comes in you, he pours his love into your heart by the Holy Spirit. It says in verse 6, the mindset on the flesh is death, but the mindset on the Spirit is life and peace. What is the fruit of Holy Spirit? It's peace. If you allow the Holy Spirit of God to run your life, and you walk in the Spirit, and you don't allow the enemy to continue to accuse you and condemn you and say you're a rotten sinner. You say, in the power of the Spirit, you say, Satan, I'm bought and paid for. Amen. Shut up.
Amen.
You can't accuse me anymore.
Yeah.
Okay? What comes over you is an incredible peace. God and I are one. Like we are connected now. We have a relationship because of Christ.
That's right.
Okay? You can't interfere. You might be able to tempt me, but listen, Satan, if I resist you, you'll have to flee.
Yeah.
Okay? Mm-hmm. Friends, Satan is not an equal to Jesus.
No.
Okay? He's an angel.
Right.
God tells David he can command his angels.
Yeah.
Okay? Yeah. We don't have to put up with Satan. The Bible actually says that Jesus destroyed the works of Satan in our lives. When does he come? When we're sick, when we're weak, when we're tired, when we're struggling, when we're in a jam and we need to maybe take means that aren't godly, then he's always there.
Mm-hmm.
He's always comes at our weakest. He's such a sneaky little guy. But if you stay in the Spirit, you'll be aware of him.
Yeah.
You need spiritual eyes to see him. Anyway, he says, if we walk in the flesh, that's death. But if we walk in the Spirit, that's life and peace. Okay? You can have life and peace by walking in the Spirit. After chapter 8, it's the application of these truths, how they work out in our lives. Yeah, I'll just give you a couple examples. Chapter 14, verse 17. 14:17, the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Okay, isn't that phenomenal?
Yes.
The kingdom of God, listen, if your life is chaos, if it's craziness, if you don't have peace, you're not living in the kingdom of God. You've stepped out, if that's possible.
Yeah.
Okay? The moment you're transferred into the kingdom of the Son of God, it's peace. Peace is an evidence of living in Christ. Okay? I'm not talking your world can still be going crazy, your car can be breaking down, and you're still struggling to work. But inside, inside you, you know, God's got this. I'm his son. I'm his daughter. And I can trust him. And he's going to get me through. Okay? There's an inner peace. That's what we're talking about. Not necessarily an exterior peace. There's a joy.
Yeah.
There's a joy in verse 17. In the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is the one who provides us. He's God
That's
himself.
Right. That's right.
Okay? You can read that. Galatians 5. There's so many scriptures. Well, I'm going to cut it short. I said I'd stay in the book of Romans. But I just want to reiterate all that I said, which is really found in one passage, and that's in the book of Ephesians, okay, chapter 2, which I'm sure most of you know well. So if you want to know what the gospel is, you can go to chapter 2 of Ephesians. And I'm going to read 5 to 9, or 4 to 9. Ephesians 2. I love this passage. You should cut it out and pin it on your mirror, or wherever you spend the most time, on your desk, wherever. But God, being rich in mercy, why was he merciful? Mercy is not giving us what we deserve. That's what mercy is.
Yeah.
Grace is giving us what we don't deserve, right?
Yeah.
God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us. Isn't that beautiful? His great love. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us, yes, that we should be called children of God. That just blows my mind. You know, Paul says, how high and wide and deep and long is the love of Christ. You can meditate on the love of Christ till Jesus comes back, yeah, and you'll never get to the bottom of understanding it. Why he would choose me, I have no idea. Even when we were dead in our transgressions, right? We saw that in Romans. He loves sinners. He came for the ungodly. He made us alive together with Christ. He made us. That was his work. It's not our work. By grace you have been saved. It's a gift. Okay? By grace. And he raised us up with him and seated us with Christ in the heavenly places in Christ. And this is so amazing. This passage I should just like tattoo it on my car.
Yeah.
Maybe on my chest. My wife would freak out. Wow. Why did he do that? In order that in the ages to come he might show the surpassing riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. God, we saw that. God displays Jesus on the cross so that he can display his grace to the world. His incredible gift. Friends, world, I have a gift for you. Here he is. See him? On the cross, bleeding, wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. That's him. He's my gift, my only son, my very best spotless lamb I've given for you. That's what he says. And I put him on display for the whole world to see. And the whole world says, I'll do it my way.
Yeah.
But not those who are called. That's us. We're dead. We've been raised up with him, seated with him in the heavenly places, in order that in the ages to come he might show the surpassing riches of his grace, the kindness toward us. God is so kind to us that he would display Jesus. Here it is. By grace you have been saved.
Yeah.
Through faith. His gift, you receive it by believing it. And not just believing it mentally, believing it in your heart. And that not of yourselves, you can't work for it. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works that no one should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And you know, when you come to Christ, it's a whole new life. You're a new creation. And he's got a whole bunch of new things he wants you to do. Okay? Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah.
That's when life in Christ really starts. When you comprehend what Jesus did for you and you start walking out the life that he had wanted you to walk from day one, before you went on your way into sin. Okay? And friends, that's the gospel. That's the gospel. That's what you share with people. You talk about God's love. You talk about God's grace. Okay? You talk about their faith. They need to respond with faith. You talk about peace and joy when the Holy Spirit comes, once you believe on Christ. You talk about new life, resurrection life. That's it. It's an incredible passage. I just get so wrapped up in meditating on what Jesus has done for us. And it's just so incredible to me.
Mm-hmm.
It's not me. I can't save myself.
Right.
It had to be him. It had to be him. And he did it. Once and for all, the Bible says. There's no other way to get to heaven but through Jesus. Okay? There's no other way.
The only way.
The only way. I don't care, you know, if you're Muslim, Sikh, Hindu, Buddhist, whatever. You need to come to Jesus.
Yeah.
I don't care if you're the most generous person on planet Earth,
yeah,
and all you do is good works and feeding the poor one after another. Your works will never equate the work of Christ.
That's right.
Never.
Amen.
While we were yet sinners, 3:23, Romans 3:23. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of,
yep,
God. The moment you're born, you're born into the sin of Adam. Right? You need a new nature. You need some work. You need an engine transplant. You need a complete overhaul. Only God can do that.
Yeah.
Right? And I just want to encourage you, friends. It was really good. You know, we should do this more often. It's good to be with other Christians. Mm-hmm. It's good to hear what God is showing them. Mm-hmm. It's good to hear that in the middle of Pride Month, there are Christians rallying together to lift up the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Okay? And declare truth. That's why they chose June.
Yep.
Okay? Probably the greatest demonic force over Canada is in the month of June.
But Jesus has conquered.
Jesus has conquered.
The
only way they're going to hear that is if we get out there and demonstrate it and preach it. Okay? And I just want to encourage us. There is a harvest out there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Young man comes in, living for himself, has no idea that he's been created to serve God. Until he hears about God and what God did to bring him back to himself. Okay? That's why I read Ephesians 2:10. Because you can't step into the works that God has prepared for you until you receive Christ. You cannot fulfill what God has for you in the natural man. You have to be born again. You have to receive, be cleaned up, and learn with Holy Spirit in you to listen to Holy Spirit. The only way you can serve God is by walking in the Spirit.
Yes.
Okay? That cannot happen until you're cleansed by the work of Christ. Questions, comments? Thank you, Lord.
I've had a real urgency on my heart for the church to have their eyes open to the spiritual realm, because there's so much happening around them that they can't see and they can't fight, even though they have the authority to do it, because their eyes are not open to the spiritual, or they refuse to believe that there is a spiritual force. So, if we could pray corporately for the Church of Jesus Christ, that their spiritual eyes be open.
Well, let's do that. According to the prayer of Ephesians.
Yes.
Father God, we pray that you would pour out a spirit of wisdom and revelation on the Church of Jesus Christ, that they would understand what he has done for the whole world and what he offers: salvation, redemption, forgiveness, new life, new creation reality. Leading of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Father
yes.
God, I pray that we would understand Christ and all that he has done for us. And God, that we would respond to that as you have written in your word, to go and demonstrate the love of Christ, to love people, to serve them only in the power of the Holy Spirit, Father. And Lord, not because we want to display our good works, but because we want to have an open door to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Father God, move us. Lord, we just think of our streets right now. And we think of the people you're pointing out to us right now. And we're going to start praying for them. And we're going to start lifting them up. And we're going to be bold, and we're going to step out and declare the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because it is good news. And there's a co-worker at work who needs to hear. There's a neighbor. There's a friend who needs to hear. They are dying and dead in their sins, and they need the life of Christ. Jesus, you have come that we might have life. Oh God, stir us up. We want to partner with your Holy Spirit as he's moving on planet Earth right now. We want to come alongside him and be used by him to declare good news to a world that is completely lost and confused, that has exchanged the truth for a lie. But Lord, we have truth. Open our mouths, we pray. And Lord, bring in the harvest through us. Never a problem with the harvest, you said, always a problem with the laborers. Father, we just declare each one here is a laborer for the kingdom of God. We have been called and set apart and sanctified and filled with the knowledge of the Holy One to go and share and to lift up Christ. And you said, Lord, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men to me. And so, Lord, may we lift you up in all that we do and everywhere we go. May we lift you up. We just agree to do that. And everyone said, Amen. Thank you, Lord.